are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
How many people here have ever been in a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake? Raise your hand. How many here? Okay, now those same people, let me ask you this. If you could say one word to describe what was happening around you at that time, what would that be? Shout it out. Chaos, terror, power.
Can I say two?
Sure.
Green sky.
Green sky. Anybody else? Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. When I was young, I experienced an event like that. My family and I were in New Jersey by the ocean when a hurricane hit one night. And it was quite the thing. I mean, branches were breaking, wind was blowing, waves were surging, things were flying, trees were uprooted, lights went out, everything was going on. It was just the outer fringes of it, but I'm telling you, it did not feel like it. And if I had to describe that time in one word, I would use the word shaking. Everything was shaking. My bed was shaking, so I got out of bed. But the floor was shaking, so I tried to go to different places in the house. But everywhere I went, it was shaking. There was no basement to go to for safety. So I got lower on the floor, and I got on my knees. But guess what? Even my knees were shaking. Everything was shaking. And not only was it shaking around me, it was shaking inside of me too. And all I could think between frantic prayers was, what should I do? What should I do? Everyone else was in the same circumstance. They weren't much help, but I was calling out internally, what should I do? And it occurred to me that for all of us, this time that we're presently in could be described pretty much that same way, wouldn't you say? Yep. There's been a lot of shaking going on, I'd say. Would you agree with me? I'd agree. So like my story, it's all taken us by surprise. It's woken us up out of our slumber. We can't stop it. We can't hide from it. There's nowhere to go. The whole family's involved, and it's driven us to our knees. And we're all asking, what should I do now? And as we watch the world deal with it, I'm sure you've seen many different responses as the world's dealt with it. Some of them panic. Some become angry and react harshly or blame. Some take evasive action or erratic action. Some are paralyzed by their fear, shaking in the shaking. Some charge forward with their man-made remedies. But for people of God, there's another way, isn't there? There's another way. Christians seek the Lord in His Word for answers to that question, what should I do now? They lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance, even in tough times. Family, we can be comforted, deeply comforted, that we can fully lean on the Holy Spirit at this time. He's practical.
That you are an unshakable God who's given us.
And I don't know why I've been surprised by all these goings on, because it tells us He's so good. A.W. Tozer said, we must meet the uncertainties of this world with the certainty of the world to come. The purpose of the shaking is so that the Christians who are in possession of this kingdom who can't be shaken are filtered out from the rest of the world. Not so that you'll be shaken apart, that's not His intent for you, but so that you can stand, that all that can't be shaken will stand. This passage has told us that we're to be thankful. But what else is the Holy Spirit guiding us to do? And there's many passages that speak to this, but I'd like to unfold just one of them for you today. So please turn with me to 2 Peter. And this is our key scripture for today, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. And while you're turning there, I just want to throw out that this was a really intense time of shaking for the people of this day. More shaking was about to come. So I think we can learn something, because this was an intense time, sort of like what we're going through now. And Peter, who normally gets a really rough rap, he asks a wise question. And he basically says, in light of all this chaos, in light of all this shaking, what kind of people ought we to be? And I thought, what a great question. It's sort of one step up from, what should I do? See, this stuff affects not only our doing, but our being. And so Peter asks, what kind of people ought we to be? And then he gives the response. And here's what it says. It says, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now that's one verse that seems so quick, but there's so much in it. And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to stand firm in times of shaking, to live godly and holy lives, to look forward to the day of God and quicken the day of his coming. So the first part of that is to live holy and godly lives. And we read in 1 Peter 1:16, it says, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. So let your focus rest on him, not on all the loud voices swirling around. Do this, do that, go here, don't go here, wear this, don't. All the noise. Focus on that quiet, still voice. One of them said, that asks,
boy,
I wish I would have sinned
more. Essentials?
I really wish I could have worked more sin into my life. Rats! If only I had taken that opportunity to cheat on my wife. Or if I'd robbed that banker. Oh, I meant to follow through on that scam and I just never did. Oh, darn. Rats! They don't say, oh, if only I hadn't wasted so much time praying and reading the word. Do you ever hear that? No. The things that people regret are not taking opportunity to press into God. They do regret taking time for things that were urgent but unimportant. If they had time for a do-over, they would want to press in to God in a new way. In a time of shaking, we're reminded of the brevity of life, aren't we? We have to make it count. Make it a holy one. Now notice I didn't say an uptight, goody-goody one. I said make it a holy one. Holy alive in God. One scripture that lights our path to that end is in 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 17 to chapter 7, verse 1. And it says this. It says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Purify ourselves. Purify ourselves. Do you notice that it doesn't say, I'll do all the purifying for you? He does do that at salvation, right? But then we're to go on and continue to purify ourselves from all that contaminates us. And then it says, come out from them and be separate. That means live life differently than the unbelievers. Doesn't mean we don't interact with them, but we're to look differently. Are we more concerned with fitting in or being separated out? We're to look differently. Touch no unclean thing is another part of this verse. And can I tell you that that isn't talking about people? One of my fondest memories was in Rwanda. And it's an amazing place, and they've been through so much. But I have a very clear memory of one day sitting in a meeting, and one of my teammates was ministering up front, and I was in back on this low kind of bench. And all the kids were just swarming over me. And it was a really an amazing thing because they were just so close. It was a boiling hot day, and there were so many of them crawling all over me. And I got to tell you that some of these kids hadn't seen a washcloth in a very long time. I mean, they were sticky. They were gooey. There was just dirt cake to dirt, and their noses were running, and flies were setting up housekeeping, and it was really something, okay? Not all of them, but some of them. And there was this one little baby who only had on a cloth diaper. And I can say it was a very wet cloth diaper. No plastic pants. He's crawling in all the dirt with nothing on but this diaper, crawling all over me. These kids were just all over. They were filthy, but not unclean. Not spiritually unclean. They were so beautiful. It brought me one of my most precious memories. They kept touching me all over. In fact, I was wearing the same dress, and they're just touching me all over. And then they started to rub my arms. I was like, what are you doing? And they were convinced that I was a black woman because I was just like them. And they thought I had gotten into something white, some flour or dust or something, and they kept trying to get it off of me. And I just thought, that is so precious. That was one of the greatest compliments I'd ever received. And I would have totally missed it if I just looked at the externals and said, oh, they're filthy. Let them sit over there. And we do that to people. And this is not any commentary on COVID. I'm not talking about that. Be wise, be safe. I'm talking about a heart attitude towards people. Sometimes we think people are the unclean things. It's not what's out here. It's what comes from within our hearts. Let me tell you some things that are unclean, because this scripture clearly says don't touch those unclean things. Don't even touch them, much less mingle with them and play with them. Don't even touch them. Let me tell you some things that are unclean to God. The occult is unclean to God. That can involve everything from ESP to fortune telling, seances, Ouija boards, tarot cards, mysticism, horoscopes. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I know horoscopes aren't real. I just read them for fun. Can I tell you, the Word of God says don't even touch them with your eyes. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. Stay away from them. It's not clean to the Lord. Lying is unclean to the Lord. Gossip, slander. You know, you can do those things with a smile and a prayer, but there's still gossip and slander. Don't do it. We're not to touch it. Sexual immorality of every type, divisiveness, ungodly anger. Sometimes there's a place for anger, but ungodly anger, don't touch it. Pornography, coveting, stealing, cheating. There's so many things, and you know most of them. But it says don't even touch them. Can I say that a lot of things on TV and the radio and movies, not all, but a lot of things are unclean to God? Why would you even expose the Holy Spirit in you to those things? They're unclean. Don't touch them. Run from them. We're to put away evil and live holy lives, not because I'm telling you to, but because the Bible says so right here. Live holy and godly lives. Back in my Elam days, you all know Sylvia Evans, and one day she was preaching on the Nazirite vow, and it forever changed me. And I don't have time to fully unpack that now, but basically, it was about not only giving up evil stuff in our life, but about how sometimes people are devoted to God in such a way that they will give the Lord things that aren't necessarily evil. There can be even good things, but they choose to honor God by not participating in them. And she talked about how God will honor and back and empower them, how he did Samson. And he really empowers people in significant ways when they give those love gifts to Jesus. In Samson's case, it was not cutting his hair or touching the dead or drinking. You can read all about it in Numbers 6 and Judges 13. And it's different for different people. But can I tell you that I made a promise to the Lord that day that I've never regretted? And it's not important for you to know the details of it. The point is, whatever he asks you to do, do it. The point is, you'll never regret that which you give to the Lord, only that which you withhold. That love gift to Jesus is something special between you and him, and nothing or no one can shake it away. David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. It'll cost you, but you'll be so happy to have something to put at the feet of Jesus if he's calling you to do it. God honors those who honor him. God honors those who honor him. Honor him in all you're doing. Live a holy and godly life, because the Bible tells us so. So the Holy Spirit teaches us how to stand firm in the times of shaking. And the first way is to live a holy and godly life. That doesn't mean perfect. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Are you making progress? Are you pressing in to the holiness of God? And the second thing is, look for the day of God to come. Looking for that day with anticipation. That's the motivation for our holy conduct. The cure for complacency, hesitancy, lawlessness, despair, and more is found in the confident reassurance that Christ will return. Looking for him relates to the attitude, what you're anticipating. If he came back right now in bodily form, if he came down and showed up right here, would your attitude be, oh, you're back? Oh, you're here. Don't you think he'd be expecting a little something more? Yes, that eager anticipation and that joy at his return. Would his coming back upset your agenda? Would it mess with your day? Or are you so aligned with the purposes of God that you're eagerly anticipating and waiting at the window for him to return? Just like a woman in labor finds a place on the wall and fixes her gaze on that spot to get through it, the Holy Spirit reminds us to fix our gaze on the Lord. When all this chaos, when all this shaking, when all these things, all these words, all these actions, all this stuff is swirling through the air, he says, you fix your eyes on one spot and let that spot be Jesus Christ. You fix your eyes on him. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Say with me, I will not be shaken. Say it with some guts and determination. When all this is swirling, I will not be shaken. Today it's a pretty calm day and a sunny day, but there's days that aren't like this. And when those days swirl and come, what are you going to stand and say? I will not be shaken. You have to stand on it. I will not be shaken. And the next progression of that is in Psalm 30, verse 6, and it says, I will never be shaken. Say that with me. I will never be shaken. That doesn't mean you won't be upset. It doesn't mean stuff won't go down. But who you are in the depths of you, no one can take that away. You can stand on that. I will never be shaken. Declare that with me right now. I will never be shaken. Believe it, declare it, and stand on it. Now let me tell you, there's a little caution in this too. See if you can hear it when I read to you from Psalm 10, beginning at verse 1. There's a caution. That's completely true, but there's a caution. It says this, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man," this whole portion is about the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous, he is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will shake me. I will always be happy and never have trouble." Oh, hold the phone. Let out the cat, Mabel. Did you hear it? The wicked man can say, "Nothing will shake me." But what's the difference between them and us? He might be saying it with great bravado and a lot of volume, but it's not true, because the Bible tells us the wicked will indeed be shaken. He can say it all he wants. He can stand right here next to us and declare it, but he will be shaken. But the people of God who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will never be shaken. Will they be all shiny and perfect? No. Will they do everything right? No. Will things in their life be hard? You better believe it. But they will never be shaken. They'll never be shaken out of the hands of Jesus. Their salvation will never be shaken away from them. They will never be shaken. It's because of the Word of God, not because of their confidence or their bravado. It's because what the Bible says. We stand on the Bible. Psalm 125, verse 1 declares, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endure forever." Psalm 112, verse 6, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken." Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." You can declare it. You can stand on it. You can fix your eyes on it. You can believe it. And then let his Holy Spirit minister to you. Let his Holy Spirit come and come.